So we are on Ayin Hey Amud Beis, 75b, and we are at the Mishnah, about a dozen lines down. And this Mishnah follows up on our discussion about koshering a used wine press that you obtained from someone who wasn't Jewish. And now, you know, that was the previous Mishnah, and we talked quite a bit about that. So now we talk about how you prepare other items that you acquired from somebody who wasn't Jewish. So when you acquire kalim, when you acquire utensils that you want to use for food from someone who isn't Jewish, logically, what process do you have to do? What is it that we need to do?
Kosher it.
You need to kosher it, and what else besides koshering? Right, tevilas kalim, you have to tovel it. So the Mishnah here is going to focus, it appears, on the issue of koshering, and then the Gemara is going to bring us into toveling, which, you know, from a chronological perspective actually makes a lot of sense, because you do have to kosher before you tovel, something we may come back to. But take a look at the Mishnah, and I guess I will share the screen with it so that those who are not in front of a Gemara will be able to see it. So I'll just call that up here. And give it to us. Okay. So it should be showing up here on your screen. Okay. So the Mishnah says, right now it should be at the top. Halakach kli tashmish mina ovdei kochavim. If you acquire clay tashmish sounds like utensils that are of any purpose whatsoever. But it does mean that which is used with food. We'll see that because we talk about koshering it. So, es shadarko lahatbil, yatbil. That which you normally would be tovel, meaning dip in water, that's what you do with this. Lahag'il, yag'il. Lahag'il, hag'ala, refers to drawing, well, I shouldn't bias the reader of the Mishnah. Right now we'll just say it means boiling up the pot. We have to clarify it shortly. You do that, if that's what's normally done with this pot, that's what you do here. L'labein b'ur, y'labein b'ur. That which you normally would whiten in fire, so you whiten it in fire. That's what you do. And as an example, hashfud v'ha'askala malabanan ba'ur. A shfud is a spit. An askala also is a form of a spit. You put them in the fire and they're holding meat on them generally, or, I don't know, marshmallows. So malabanan ba'ur. You whiten them in fire. And then finally, hasakin, a knife, is a different story. Shafa v'hitahora. You shave off the outside and it is tahor. Now, what are we talking about here? What is this business of that which you normally would dip in water? So, I'm going to show you Rashi first, and then I'll show you the Meiri. Two different takes on what's going on in our Mishnah. Rashi is at the top of the page on your screen. In the margin there is the second thin line. Es shadarko lahatbil. Rashi's read of the Mishnah is that it's describing koshering processes. Meaning, that which you normally kosher in a certain way, that's what you have to do for this thing that you bought off the non-Jew. You have to treat it as though it had absorbed treif, and therefore it has to undergo a koshering process. Klomar, Rashi says, Kli haro'i li taher bitvila, that which you would just purify, or it which would normally be purified by immersion, ain't tzarech tikun acher, there's nothing else to do. What would be an example of this? Kigon kli shetashmisha al yedei tzonein, meaning a kli that you normally use with cold. So yatbil, dip it in the mikvah, v'sulo tzarech, and you're done. A kli which normally will not need koshering if it had been used with treif, because it's normally used with cold stuff. You just wash it and you're done. That's all you have to do here. Whereas lahag'il, a kli that normally, if it had been used with treif, would require hag'ala, B'mayim rotchin, in boiling water, kagon kli shetashmisho bekach, like a kli that's normally used with boiling water. Dainu yoros, like a vat, ukdero shamataches, metal pots, yagil sedu hagala. And the Gemara is going to explain that you also have to do tevila in a mikvah. And then finally, the labin ba'ur, obviously, that which normally needs to be whitened in a fire for kashering, that's what you would do here. So what Rashi is telling you is that the way to read our Mishnah is saying, whatever the normal kashering process of an item is what you have to do if you acquire the kli from a non-Jew. You can't assume that he used it just for kosher food. So therefore, you have to kosher it. Chuck, you looked like you wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, I can't tell if I'm muted.
No, you are not muted.
Are we talking about new items as well as used items?
So right now, it's talking about used items. We will get to talk about new items, but right now we're dealing with used items. That's correct.
And the Vilna Shas has phrase Ode Kohanim. The Shnaizot has Goyim.
Right.
Does it make a difference?
No.
With a Mazdeist as opposed to someone who's not
right, so no, there's no distinction. The use of the term Ove Kochavim is simply meant to spare the sensitive ears of a non-Jewish audience who might be upset that you have to do something to make their clay seuda usable halachically. So this way they won't be offended because they'll say, oh no, those are star worshippers. That's not us. It applies to anybody who isn't Jewish, and quite honestly, this part of it, not the toveling that we'll get to, but the koshering, would apply also if you bought it off of a Jew who didn't keep kosher. Right? The same rules would apply. The only reason we're presenting non-Jews here is because the previous Mishnah talked about acquiring a wine press from a non-Jew. So now we come into another discussion about acquiring food items from a non-Jew. This is all Rashi's read. Those who have the source sheet, and I put it in the chat so people should be able to, but I'm going to share mine, will note that I brought you in source Aleph on the sheet the Me'iri. The Meiri's read of the Mishnah is a little bit different. It doesn't change the practical halacha, but it's worth noting. He says, "As shadarko lahath bil yathbil, that which you normally immerse, rotalomar es shenishtamesh bo betzonein, meaning that which is used with cold, v'derech hatbala b'mayim tzonein, and it is immersed in cold water normally." In other words, it's not that we're saying, as Rashi said. Rashi said what we're saying is anything that is normally made kosher by toveling, then you have to tovel it. The Meiri says no. It's not describing a halachic process. It's describing the normal cooking use. That which is normally used in cold water, so tovel it. And he gives you examples. Kigon kosos, tzlochios, ketonios, cups, pitchers of various kinds. Yatvil. That's what you do. Rotalomar, meaning yadiach betzonein, meaning just rinse it. It's not discussing toveling in a mikvah at all. It's saying rinse it.
What materials are these made from?
So,
metal, whatever.
Any material. He's saying if it's used only with cold, just rinse it. Ves shadarka mahagil, and that which you would normally be magil, he says, isn't referring to kashere. Rotzalomar lehishtamesh bo al yedei chamin, whatever you normally use with hot water. Kigon yoros v'kunkumusin, fats of various kinds. In other words, the Meiri's result is the same as Rashi's result. But where Rashi said our Mishnah is saying that which you normally would kasher from treif in this way, that's what you're going to do with these kalim. The Meiri is saying that which you normally use with cold water, rinse. That which you normally use with hot water, you're going to have to do hagala. The only real substantive difference between them is that, according to Rashi, the word tovel in the beginning of the Mishnah is a reference to mikvah, whereas according to the Meiri, it's a reference to rinsing. That's the only substantive difference between the two views. Okay. So our mission,
is there a difference here
based on the Parsha of Midyan, where they got the Kalim? Is it based on the principle of, you know, the way it's Balea, that's the way you get it out?
So this piece right here, the Mishnah, there's no difference between the Meiri and Rashi. They're paskening everything the exact same way. There's no disagreement between Rashi and the Meiri in terms of the halacha. We are going to bring in Klei Midyan in our discussion, first of all, of Tovaling, before we get to the discussion of Kashering. The Gemara's first stop is going to be a Tovaling discussion. And we will talk Klei Midyan as part of that. But as far as the Mishnah is concerned, Rashi and the Meiri have the same conclusion. It doesn't, nothing has changed. You follow?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, in the Gemara, we now add the element of tolling. Howard, you going to ask a question? I couldn't tell. You looked like you were, reaching. There you go.
I was just wondering if it makes a difference if the handle is porous or not. And therefore, it retained, you know, rather than rinsing would be sufficient enough if things really got into it. I'm just wondering if that's sufficient.
Right. Our Mishnah is taking the simplest of cases. It doesn't want complications. Our Mishnah is just envisioning that there are three categories. There are things that you normally use with cold, there are things that you normally use with hot water, and then there are things that normally go in the fire. And based on that, your first category, no kashering needed, just tovel it as Rashi said, or rinse it first, really, is the Meiri's position. I don't think Rashi's going to disagree. The second category, that which is used with hot water, so you do hagala, you boil it up. And the third one, you're gonna do libun. You're gonna put it in the fire. And they don't get into the discussion here about which kinds of materials. Is it clay? Is it metal? They're not interested in that conversation. Even though, on a practical level, when you get to kashering, you absolutely have to ask that question. Hagala will not work for all materials. But that's not the Mishnah.
There is a bit of a difference, though, with the cold web between Meiri and Rashi about rinsing it versus toiling it in a mikveh, because the mikveh has a certain spirituality to it, whereas rinsing it in a tat has no spirituality, just washing it off.
Right. As far as Rashi is concerned, our Mishnah is also discussing toveling. And therefore, he takes the term for that first category, saying Yat Bilenu. He says, "Yeah, that's in a mikvah. That's toveling." The Meiri thinks our Mishnah has nothing to say about Tevilas Kalim, and therefore, when it said rinse it, tovel it, it just means you're washing off whatever might have been on the surface. Rashi does not disagree with the Meiri that if you had something that was used even with cold, you're going to need to rinse it. He just thinks that the Mishnah is already venturing into the toveling area where the Meiri does not think the Mishnah is talking about it, but they're not disagreeing in practice. It's fairly clear when you read the Meiri, you see it. It's so. So the Gemara takes us into toveling. So I'm going to share again the Gemara on the screen right here. Okay, top of your screen. Tana, we've learned. V'chulan tzrichen tevila ba'arboim sa'a. All of these kalim have to undergo tevila, toveling, in 40 sa'a. 40 sa'a, the minimum measure, the minimum volume measure of a mikvah. That's that's what we learn here. The Gemara elsewhere has a discussion. How do we know it's 40 sa'a? We don't. What we actually know is that it's the size, the mikvah has to be the size of a human being. And the definition of that is one amma by one amma by three amos, and that plays out to turn out to be 40 sa'a. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Minahani Mili, how do you know that you have to tovel it? We've dropped the Mishnah. The Mishnah was a nice, interesting conversation. We're going to come back to it. But right now, we've decided that toveling is an interesting thing to talk about. So, Menahani Mili, how do we know that you have to tovel these things? So, Amar Rava, the Amar Kra, Rava says it's a pasuk. Kol davar shayavo ba'esh, ta'aviru ba'esh v'taher. This takes us into the war with Midian. So I'm going to actually refer us to the source sheet where I brought you the psukim. And if you're looking at the sheet, it's source Beis. And this is the end of Sefer Bamidbar, when the Jews have their war with Midian, right? After what happened at the end of Parshas Balak with the daughters of Midian slash Moab, the Jews go to war against Midian, they have spoils from the war, and apparently we brought back cookware. Vayomer Elazar HaKohen El Anshei HaTzavah HaBayim LaMilchama. Elazar the Kohen says too, and this is Elazar now, he's the Kohen Gadol. Aharon has passed away by this time. So Elazar the Kohen Gadol says to the Anshei HaTzavah, to the warriors who came to the war, Zos Chukas HaTorah Asher Tzivah Hashem Es Moshe. These are the laws of the Torah that Hashem commanded Moshe. Ach es hazahav ve'es hakasef es hanachoshes es habarzel es habedil ve'es haofares. Gold, silver. Nachoshes we'll call copper. In nature, it doesn't appear as a copper isolated. It's alloyed with something else. It becomes brass or bronze. You'll see various translations. Doesn't matter for our purposes. Gold, silver, copper. Barzel is iron. Bedil is tin. Ofares is lead. All of these metals. Kol davar asher yavo va'esh. Now, we're going to translate this one way. We're going to see the Gemara take it a little bit of another way, but let's translate it straight right now. Anything that enters fire, ta'aviru va'esh v'taher, pass it through fire, and it will be tahor, which for our purposes we understand to mean ready for use. Ach b'mei nida yischata, only it shall be sprinkled with mei nida, water of nida. We're going to come back to that phrase. V'chol asher lo yavo ba'esh, and if it doesn't pass through fire, taviru b'mayim, then pass it through water. So you're doing something here to make whatever these utensils are eligible for use by Jews. That's the idea. So going back to our Gemara now. So I'm going to just flip back to the Gemara here. When the Gemara asks, how do you know that you have to tell all things? Amar Rava, Rava says, Amar Kra, it's the pasuk, Kol davar shayavo ba'esh taviru ba'esh v'taher. Anything that has to go through, anything that goes through fire, you shall pass through fire, v'taher. Now, there are different ways to understand what Rava is doing here. Right now, we're going to look at it through Rashi's lens. We may come back and see it through Ramban's lens. But let's see Rashi. Rashi says on this Vitaher, if you take a look up at Rashi, it's in the top corner here, called the Rashi of Avoish, Shenishtamshu bo b'nei Midyan al yidei ha'ur. Kalim, which, utensils which, the Midianites used with fire, ta'aviru bo'esh, pass it through fire, ke'ein bol'o li'isr, as it absorbed the isr with fire, Yaflitanu, so it shall also emit the Isser via fire, kida'amron, kibolo, kachpolto, like we say, as it absorbed it, so it produces it. Vitaher, but then he says, there's an added word, krayaserahu hai vitaher. The word vitaher is extra, and as Rashi understands it, that teaches me that there's something else to do beyond passing it through fire. What else do I need to do beyond passing it through fire? That is dipping it in the mikvah. That's the way Rashi understands it. You clear? Rashi says, the pasuk says, if a kli is normally used for used in fire, then you're going to have to do koshering in fire, and then after that, vitaher, you're going to have to do something else to make it tahor, and that's a reference to tovaling it. Okay. So far, so good. We ain't done. There's more to be said here. But I think I'm going to pause with this point right now to say a couple of other things. The way that Ramban takes it, and I think I brought it for you on the sheet. Did I bring it on the sheet? I brought you Rashi on the sheet in Source Dalet. Ta'aviru b'mayim, pass it through water, That's going to be, we didn't actually get to that Rashi yet, so pretend you didn't see that Rashi in source Dalet, and you know, pretend you didn't see the Ramban in source Hayyid either. We're not ready for that. Go back to source Gimel. Go back to source Gimel instead. This Yerushalmi is a Yerushalmi I love. It gives us an explanation of what we're doing when we Tovel Kalim, which other people don't present. Meaning, we understand you buy Kalim off of someone who isn't Jewish, you have to take him to the mikvah. But what's the rationale? If it's new, why do I need to do anything? So look at this Yerushalmi. Ravmi, which means, as I added in brackets, Ravami, Salak im Rabbi Yudin Nasaya Lechamsa de Gader. Ravmi went with Rabbi Yudah Hanasi to this place, Hamad Gader, Ush'alun Kesef min Ilein de Osinus. And they borrowed silver from the local non-Jewish population. We're going to assume it means borrowing silver kalim. There's some discussion. Was it silver to make kalim? Was it silver kalim? Was it? It's actually silver kalim. Shalun l'Rabbi Yirmiya. So they asked Rabbi Yirmiya a question. Question being, do I have to tovel these silver kalim? Amar, he said, tzarech lahatbil. You have to tovel these silver kalim. Why? Lifi sheyatzu mitumas hagoy v'nichnesu l'kdushas Yisrael. They leave the tumah of the non-Jew, and they enter into the sanctity of Israel. In other words, what is the Yerushalmi saying that we're doing with these kalim? What is the Yerushalmi saying we're doing to the kalim?
Giving an element of kedusha which you didn't have before.
Giving a kedusha? How else could you word that? It's gerus. You're converting the kalim. That's what you're doing. You're taking them out of what they had before, and you're giving them Kedushas Yisrael. That's what Tovel and Kalim is. It's gear. It's a good thing we don't require a Beis Din, but or Kabbalas Mitzvos, because that would be a whole other thing. That seems to be the language of the Yerushalmi. Now, just trying to figure out whether we want to go further in the Gemara before taking a step into the Rambam. You can do it in a bunch of different ways. I'm going to go further in the Gemara first and then take us into the Rambam. I think that's a better way to do it. So I'm going to go back to sharing again the screen with the Gemara. Right now what we've seen, Rava says, how do I know that I have to tovel kalim? Call the vitaher, and as Rashi explains it, the word vitaher is extra to teach me. First, put it through fire, and then vitaher, you have to do an extra step to make it tahor. That's toveling. So Tani Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara taught, mitoch shenemar b'mei nida. The pasuk which we read before says, "Bimei nida yischata." You have to sprinkle water of sprinkling. That's the literal translation of "mei nida." Nida, like lahazot, the zayin and the dalet switch, is to sprinkle. So, water of sprinkling is what the pasuk says. Shomei ani shetzarech hazah shlishi yushvi. I would deduce from there that what we're talking about when we say water of sprinkling is para aduma water, what we call mechatas. It's the water that you use to sprinkle on somebody who had come in contact with the dead as part of their purification process. In which case, it's a 7-day process, and you have to do this sprinkling on day 3 and day 7. The Torah said in the pasuk that we read, "B'mei nida yischata," you're going to sprinkle on it this sprinkling water. That's para aduma water. So maybe it should need a 7-day process. No, tama lamar ach. The Torah said ach b'mei nida yischata. The word ach means but. It's a subjunctive, and it tells me don't do everything that the text implied. Chilek. It broke it up, meaning, I'll give you a separate example. The Torah says that on the 14th day of Nisan, you're supposed to eliminate your chametz. Ach bayom harishon tashbisu sormi batechem. we take Yom HaRishon to be the 14th day of Nisan, the day before Pesach, and it says on that day, get rid of your chametz. I would have thought that meant get rid of your chametz from the very start of the day. But the Torah says, ach by Yom HaRishon, to teach me, no, not the entire day, only part of the day. So from midday, get rid of your chametz. But earlier than that, you can have the chametz. That's the Gemara in Pesachim. So to here, the Torah says, use meinida. So Bar Kapara says, that means the water of the Para Aduma. In that case, I would think that you would have to do day 3 and day 7. No, don't do everything like they do for the Para Aduma. Only do certain things. You don't have a 7-day process. Well, the Gemara then asks, Im Kain, if that's true, Matam Alomar B'meinida, why did you bother to say B'meinida? What exactly is the purpose of the phrase B'meinida once you've walked back the 7-day element? And the answer is, it's actually not about water of sprinkling like the Para Aduma. Rather, it's the other term Nida, a woman who has experienced her period. Mayim shenida toveles bahen. We're talking about water that a nida would use, that she would go to mikvah in. Haviyomar bahem sa'a. So it's 40 sa'a. I'm just going to walk us through the end of this piece here in the Gemara, and then come back, because I realize that we're biting off a lot here. Itzdrich lemichta v'taher. V'itzdrich lemichta v'meinida. The text had to say both vitaher and meinida. Neither of those would have been sufficient on their own. Ikasav vitaher. Had the text only said vitaher, hava amina, I would have said vitaher bekoldu. I would have said vitaher with anything. Do anything to, you don't need a kosher mikvah. Kasav rachmana b'meinida. The Torah says no, b'meinida, so therefore you need that water that a nida would use, a mikvah. V'ikas of Rachmana b'meinida, had the Torah only said b'meinida, hava amina hair of shemesh kanida, I would have said that means that you can't use the kli until sunset. Just like a nida who goes to mikvah still has to wait for sunset. Kasa Rachmana v'taher la'alter, the word v'taher says no, right away it's already eligible for you. So I'm going to stop sharing and be able to see you, because I can't tell whether people are confused or not. You should be confused, because the Gemara went back and forth and back and forth within these psukim. So I'd be kind of surprised if people are not confused. What Bar Kapara is trying to accomplish here is to explain the kind of mikvah that is necessary. So he says, the Torah, the psukim that we read before that you saw in source Beis from the war with Midian, said b'meinida yischata. I know the term meinida. The term meinida is a term that we use when it comes to purification from tumah with the dead. It's sprinkling water. So maybe I need a 7-day process. So he says no. B'meinida teaches me that's not what we're talking about. It's a lesser meinida, which is mikvah. Just like a nida uses to become tahor. So then he says, well, now I don't understand. The word vitaher already told me, take an extra step of dipping the thing in the mikvah. Why did you need to say anything about b'mei nida? I knew that from the word vitaher. Vitaher told me, do something extra, and we took it to mean dip it in the mikvah. Why did you need to do anything with mei nida? Why was that here at all? So he says, because if you had the word vitaher saying, do something to purify it, I would have said, so dip it in a puddle. Who needs a full mikvah? Dip it in water. We wash our hands. We don't use a full mikvah for that. Maybe 9 kav. You can come up with all sorts of explanations. It doesn't have to be that it's a full mikvah. So mei nida says full mikvah. But if you only said mei nida, I would have said then you also have to wait till nightfall or sunset before you could actually use it. So therefore, vitaher says no, it actually becomes tahor right away. That's Bar Kapara's idea in order to explain this. Questions?
Yes, according to the Rishonim, that it is similar to Geras. For the Rishonim, would vitaher be sufficient?
For the Rishonim, that it's similar to Geras. You mean because once I'm calling it similar to Geras, then I don't need to anything to teach me it's a mikvah.
They don't need
right, but I think the Rishonim is coming in after the fact. In other words, the Yerushalmi is not saying the pasuk tells me it's like Gerus. The Yerushalmi is analyzing what we've just seen about the halachas and saying, oh, that's Gerus. It's the other way around.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So the way that Rashi understands this is basically what we just said. The only nuance I would add for you from Rashi, and this is seen in Rashi and Parsha in the end of Sefer Bamidbar, I brought you on the sheet, but I'm going to do it outside of the text on the sheet. What Rashi adds for us is that Ta'aviru Bamayim is then talking about a kli that's not being koshered. In other words, the pasuk is saying, called the Varshayeva Ba'esh, whatever it is that normally is used with fire, Tavir Ba'esh, you have to pass it through fire, Vitaher, and take it to mikvah. What about everything else? Everything else, Taviru Bamayim, means things that don't need to be koshered. Brand new kelim, Taviru Bamayim, take them to mikvah. That's the way that Rashi understands it. Ramban disagrees. And here I'll show you what I brought you on the sheet, and you'll see what Ramban does. Source Hay. I took the time to write a translation because I felt like if we did it in the Hebrew, people might not follow it. But look at Hay. I'm going to read out my English translation in the interest of clarity. You're welcome to read the original as well. It's there. Ramban says, "You shall pass through water, taviru b'mayim, to wash." It should say them. And rub them in water well until you remove all corrosion adhering to them from the prohibited material with which they have been used. For this is how they are koshered from the prohibited material. In other words, the way Ramban reads this is that Taviru Bamayim does not refer to new kelim. Taviru Bamayim refers to used kelim that don't need koshering in fire. Things that instead just need to have hagala. The text says, he continues, that which is used with fire, you shall bring in fire, as it was used with prohibited material. If it was used with actual fire, whiten it with fire. If it's hot water, do hagala with hot water. And that which was not, then just rinse. So what Ramban is doing, I'm taking us back up to source base, to the pasuk. He says, the way to read this line is not the way Rashi read it. Okay? The way that Rashi read the line, hang on one second. Okay. The way that Rashi read the line was, I'm just trying to figure out, someone's got an accidental open mic and I'm trying to figure out where it is, but I can't see while I'm sharing the screen. I think I got it. Okay. So, the way Rashi reads the line is, anything that goes into fire, you will kosher with fire and take it to mikvah. Anything that does not need koshering, you shall pass through water, just take it to mikvah. That's the way Rashi reads it. Ramban says that's not what it's saying. It's all talking about used kelim. Anything that goes into fire when it's used with food, you have to do libun and then take it to mikvah. And anything that does not get used with fire, meaning it needs some other kind of koshering, so you do some other kind, whether it's rinsing to clean it, whether it's hagala, whatever it is, that's the way Ramban understands this. Are we somewhat clear on this? Whether you got all of Rashi or Ramban is not as important as understanding that both of them believe that the origin of koshering is in that pasuk that we just read. As the Gemara spelled it out, there's Taviru Ba'esh, passing things through fire. There's Taviru Bamayim, which may refer to koshering in water or may refer to mikvah. But everybody agrees Tovelin Kalim is something that you do based on this pasuk. So if I were to ask, we have, 19 people? It's been varying between 18 and 20 on this Zoom. If I were to ask you, is Tovelin Kalim a Del Raisa or a Derabanan, what would you say? Biblical or rabbinic?
Rabbinic.
Rabbinic? How do you get rabbinic out of this?
in the explanation.
What do you
they
mean?
They took the source from the Torah.
Yeah.
And they interpreted that it has to go to water, and from water they go to Mikvah.
But that's an interpretation of what the Torah itself is telling you to do. In other words, it's not that the rabbis are telling you, we want you to Tovel. They're saying, we think the Pasuk says you have to Tovel.
But it says, when it talks about the Nida,
yeah,
that's already a rabbinic interpretation.
But it's rabbinic explanation of a Pasuk. In other words, let me clarify what we mean when we say Dirabbanan normally. Even though I'm going to confuse everything by bringing in the Rambam. But before we get to the Rambam, normally when we say something is a De'oraisa, we mean it's a law which emerges from the text of the Torah. Whether the Torah says explicitly, like, don't, lo tirtzach, right? Don't go around killing people, where it's fairly explicit. Or whether it's a case in which I had to learn something from the text where it's not explicit, but rather it's derived. I have a gzeirah shava, I have a drasha. We generally view all of that as de'oraisa.
Whereas I agree, but when you look at the Ramban, when he's talking that you have to clean the utensils, that's not referring to the Torah interpretation. Just read the Rambam, which says that you have to clean.
Right. That's because he's right. He understands Taviru Bamayim not to be referring to Toveling New Kalim. But Vitaher, he said, referred to Toveling. The word Vitaher did, which is what the Gemara said. I mean, it's not his innovation. The Gemara said that. Sorry, Jack, I can't hear you. Can you turn up your volume?
Because it has the word Vitaher in Pasuk, it should be at the rights of...
Yeah, I mean, that's the simple read, is that it's a Deoraisa, the Gemara is getting from a Pasuk. I saw Alan Litwack about to say that before also, that it's a Deoraisa. That's the simple read. Whether I can get it with a drasha or without a drasha, I have to explain the Pasuk, not explain the Pasuk, I would have said Deoraisa. However, there is the matter of the Rambam. So I brought him on the source sheet, and I gave it a translation as well. Source Vav. I just shared it on the screen too. He says, Tevila zu shematbilin klei ha-se'uda ha-nelkachem min ha-akum. This immersion, where you immerse meal utensils that are bought from someone who isn't Jewish, ve'achach yutru la'achila v'ushasiyah, and then afterwards you're allowed to eat and drink with them, einam le'inyan tuma v'tahara, Elami divrei sofrim. He says this is not about dipping it in a mikvah because it was tamei. It's a divrei sofrim, which I didn't translate in my English. I just left it as mi divrei sofrim. V'remez la, and the hint to it is kol davar sheyavo ba'ish tayru ba'ish v'taher mi piyashmua lamdu sheinu medaber lebatarasi midei gulei akum lo midei tuma. He says the hint to it is the pasuk that we've been reading. If it enters fire, pass it through fire, and it'll be pure. And we learned by tradition that it's not talking about tuma and tahara, purity and impurity, but it's talking about kashering it from the non-Jews' food. And he goes on to say, because after all, the putting something in fire doesn't get rid of impurity. V'kevin shekasa v'taher, amru chachamim hosif lo tahara achrei aviraso ba'esh. Since the Torah says v'taher, it shall be pure, the sages said, add another purification after it goes through kashering to permit it from the gilei akum, from the non-Jews' food. Looking at that Rambam in source Vav, does the Rambam think Tovel and Kalim is De'oraisa or De'rabbanan?
Rabbanan.
So this time I have to agree with Thomas. The Rambam sounds like he's saying that this is, in fact, De'rabbanan. Boy, is that a problem. That is an earthquake of a problem. Because that's going to mean that if I have materials that may or may not require toveling, because I'm not sure about the nature of those materials, I can now argue, Savik de Rabbanan. I don't have to tovel them. certainly shouldn't, you know, he raises brachos questions. It comes up in a few different contexts. The Rambam sounds like he's saying that it's derabanan. Now, I should note, just quickly, before we wrap up, we're going to have to continue, obviously, next time with this Rambam, but I do want to make sure to note how you read the end of that line in the Rambam, because it can easily lead to confusion. The last bit of that Rambam, the Kevin Shakasu v'taher, Amru Chachamim, Hosif lo tahara achrei aviraso bo'esh latiro miki uleakum, the Rambam is not saying, and this is the Lechem Mishnah that I brought in in Sur Zion, the Rambam is not saying that kashering it in Libun is rabbinic. He's saying add an extra layer of purification, which is the mikvah one, which is rabbinic. You could mistakenly read that another way. I mean, when I did my translation, I accounted for the Lechem Mishnah's approach. What he's saying is that you're koshering it, that's biblical. You're tovling it is what he sounds like he's saying is derabanan. So what I want to do next time, hang on one second, Chuck, just to explain, what I want to do next time is revisit this Rambam. There are, in fact, two views about what the Rambam said as to whether tovling is a deoraisa or whether it is a derabanan, and that'll be very important before we proceed with the rest of the Gemara. Chuck. You're muted. I can't unmute you. You have to unmute yourself, Chuck.
Okay. I may be tired, but I'm going back to the original pasuk. It ends with Lo yavo ba'esh taviru b'mayim. Where is the Rambam dealing with the phrase taviru b'mayim?
So,
if you look at another place, are we possibly misinterpreting the Rambam because we haven't seen where he's dealing?
So it would seem, assuming the Rambam really believes that this is derabanan, he could say Taviru Bamayim is a reference as Ramban understood it for kasher and kalim that need to go through water, right? Whether it's the way Ramban said it, it just means washing kalim that were exposed to treif when they were cold, or maybe you could say it's about hagalah. But that's that's what the Rambam could do with Taviru Bamayim. He does not need to do what Rashi does and take Taviru Bamayim to be a reference to Mikvah. He could.
Do we know whether he really does it, or are we hypothesizing because we don't see it?
We are hypothesizing. And it's not just us. It's going to be the Rashba also. It's going to be the Aruch HaShulchan. Everyone is trying to figure out what the Rambam meant.
Okay.
Yeah. So God willing, we'll pick up with that next week. Those who weren't here in the beginning, I'll just tell you that I think I'd like to do Ksuvos as the next Masechta. So some will be happier than others, but I think that's where we're going to go with it. We have a while yet before we're done here. This is a packed daf we have ahead of us. Very practical rules of Kashrut.